As we just heard from the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, Congress has agreed on a bipartisan farm bill. Now it's time for a weekly update on Congress with USA Today Politics and Congress editor Paul Singer.
Last night, President Obama addressed the House and Senate for over an hour and laid out ways in which he both planned to sidestep Congress and ways in which he wants to see Congress move forward on top priorities, including immigration.
Here with us now to break down all that news is Paul Singer. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you. How you guys doing?
Really good. Well, before we get to that State of the Union, Congress has agreed to a farm bill. House just passed it today. It took a little while. What happened to finally make that pass?
Well, you know, farm bills, everybody wants them. There's something in it for everybody sooner or later. And there's only so long they can operate without some sort of decisions on subsidies and farm support payments and food stamps. I mean, this is $500 billion worth of legislation. You can't just sort of slough it off forever. I think this has taken about 2 years to assemble this one. So they were going to do it sooner or later, and they finally basically, split the difference in some of their major arguments, particularly food stamps, and decided to get it done.
Yeah, speaking of food stamps, why was that such a major sticking point here?
Well, this became a target for significant budget cutting, particularly by Republicans in the House last year. The Senate had passed a farm bill with about $4.5 billion worth of cuts in food stamps. That got added to in the House, and before they were done adding amendments and adding other cuts, they had managed to eliminate about $40 billion, that's 40 billion, about 10 times what the Senate had passed. And the Democrats weren't going to live with that, and there was even some Republicans were nervous about it. There was a whole stalemate at that point. Well, between 4 and 40, where do we go? And, of course, the Democrats were afraid the Republicans were just sort of trying to push them to 20. They ended up at somewhere around 8. So, it's a cut. It's a significant cut, but it's not the catastrophic cuts the Democrats had been worried about.
As I had heard, the House was maybe the last potential obstacle. Do you think this will fly through the Senate now?
Yeah. I mean, I think you'll hear people complain, and I think you'll hear people very upset about the cuts, particularly food stamps. But, yes, I think it'll fly through the Senate. I think everyone feels like this is the deal.
And another thing the House passed, this time before the State of the Union last night, the House passed an anti-abortion bill. First of all, what did they do? What did they pass the House?
I believe this is the bill that prevents using federal funds for abortions, particularly in health care coverage. You will note that I am not particularly expert in this bill, particularly because it's not going to matter. Mm-hmm. It's not going to pass. The Senate's never going to pass it. The president's never going to sign it. These are what we call message bills. Whichever party is in power gets the opportunity to pass bills, even if they don't think they've got the votes in the other chamber to pass them.
So why do they pass them if they're not going to pass?
Well, because it gives you an opportunity when you go on the campaign trail to say, I voted for this, my opponent voted against it, and it reasserts your appeal to your base. It says, listen, this is a principle issue. We believe in this principle, and we're going to continue to pass it and continue to vote on it, even though it's never going to become law. I mean, the House Republicans have voted, I don't know, like 40 times, I think we've said now, on repealing Obamacare or various sort of delays to Obamacare. None of those are going to become law. But it is part of their messaging. They are trying to make the point that they are very sincere about this topic, and they want to see change, and they will continue to vote for change. And Democrats, by the way, are going to continue to vote against change, and that's what they want them on the record doing.
Leading up to elections, a lot of groups issue scorecards on candidates. Do these message bills end up being fodder for these scorecards from liberal and conservative groups?
They certainly do. But I will tell you that the proliferation of those scorecards makes them a little less meaningful. If everybody is issuing a scorecard, you know, how do you decide on your candidate when they've got an A plus from the Farm Bureau and an A minus from the, I don't know, Freedom to Fish League and a C from the abortion group and a D minus from the tax group? You know, I mean, like they're all over the place. So, but yes, that's what they call. They call them key votes. But again, some of these they won't even bother to select because the vote is fairly easy in this case, honestly. It's fairly easy for the Democrats to say this is not something that's going to affect law, and besides which is already in the law. And it's easy for Republicans to say, well, this is an important philosophical principle. So they're easy votes.
All right. Well, on we go to the big news for Congress last night. They got to sit and listen to the State of the Union. So as much as President Obama would like to have been setting the agenda for Congress for the last 5 years or so, at this point, how much sway does he have to get them to take any kind of action?
Well, not much. I mean, I think what he has is the bully pulpit, right? And he can make this case, a strong case, that income inequality is a problem that should be addressed. Maybe raising the minimum wage is something that Congress should do. He can say, I'm taking executive action on my own where I can, which is what he did last night. And he's now out today and tomorrow doing campaign stops around the country to try and make that case that these are important issues, we should get Congress to vote on them. But I think the real theme of last night's speech was, I don't need you, Congress. I'm going to do some of this myself. And I think in Obama's case, he needs to sort of demonstrate action. It's been a rough 6 months for the administration, maybe a rough year for the administration. He needs to be able to demonstrate action. So he's out there doing that. He issued this 15-page, I think it was, a memo last night of executive actions that he's taken, everything from creating new task forces to issuing executive orders to address issues where Congress won't act.
We've seen some response to those executive actions from Republicans in Congress, not happy about them. How much of that is just partisan politics, and how much of it is maybe a sense from people in Congress that, hey, the executive shouldn't be stepping on our toes and going it alone?
Well, there's this running joke, you know, about members of Congress who go to the White House and suddenly discover that, you know, the years they were in Congress screaming about executive power, now they're in the White House, they start screaming about congressional encroachment on their power. I mean, that's just what happens. Presidents love executive authority. All presidents, no matter what party they're from. And Obama is trying to flex his muscle. Congress, of any party, hates executive authority when it's being asserted by the other party. You know, this is the way this works. Obviously, Congress is going to make the argument that these are things that Congress needs to do and that Obama needs their approval to do. He's going to argue, no, they're not. I mean, I don't know if you remember, several years ago, when Bush was still president, he was doing what they called signing statements, which Obama has continued, even though Democrats screamed about him then. And these were signing statements where when he'd sign a bill, he would add a note saying, oh, yeah, but I'm not going to enforce this part, this part, this part, and this part, and I interpret this part differently than you do. Drove Congress nuts, particularly Democrats in Congress. Well, now Obama's doing the same thing, and Democrats are quiet about it.
Wanted to wrap up with one thing out of the State of the Union that might get, apparently, some bipartisan support, immigration reform. We've seen some cooperation on a spending bill, now the farm bill. Is immigration reform the next one that the parties are going to pass something on?
I'm not putting any money on it. I mean, this morning, Marco Rubio, at a presentation before some reporters, said, I don't know if it's going to happen this year because, basically, Republicans don't trust Obama to enforce the border security portions. And for Republicans, border security is a critical issue in any immigration package, and if they don't believe Obama's going to seriously enforce it, they won't vote for the bill. So that is the first signal of, like, oh, well, they're already backing away. But we do expect Republicans in the next couple of days to come out with their outline of what might be required for a bill. Maybe that's a place to get started. We'll see.
Is there a sense that there's election pressure? Are politicians, congresspeople on either side looking over their shoulders saying, we got to get something done or we might get voted out?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think for Republicans, the bigger concern is getting something done that would get them voted out. Their concern is passing anything that could be perceived as amnesty for, you know, 11 or 12 million undocumented immigrants. That would be a death knell in almost any Republican primary. Even in the general election might be a problem for them in some cases. So I think they are very cautious about what they're willing to sign on to. And again, if you don't believe this president is serious about enforcing border security provisions, you might just decide, well, heck, we're better off waiting until the next president, who hopefully will be a Republican.
We'll leave it there, Paul, until next week. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
My pleasure. Be well, Rob.
You too. That's Paul Singer, USA Today politics and Congress editor. He tweets from @SingerNews.